Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, October 21st, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Before we bring our guest on today, we have a couple quick announcements. First of all, tonight at 9 o'clock, we're going to be appearing on Alex Merklinger's Mysteries of the Mind. And then at 11 o'clock tonight, that's Eastern Time also, we're going to be on Bill Broombaugh's Proactive News, correct?
Yep, long day for us.
Yeah, so we'll be up all day, all night, just talking. And other than that, we're going to ease into the weekend, take a look at what's going on the website, and there's so much going on in the world that we're going to touch upon a little bit with our guest today, Mr. Morgan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's appeared on Wing TV once before, and we also met him in Washington, D.C.
over the
summer. And for those of you who don't know, he was a former economics professor at Texas A&M. He was also the chief economist with the U.S. Department of Labor. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Morgan Reynolds to Wing TV. How you doing, Morgan?
Very good, Victor.
Hi, Morgan.
Hey, Lisa.
Well, it's really an honor to have you here today. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about 9/11 quite a bit. But for starters, I want to ask you, since you are an economist, and primarily that's what you did for most of your career, I want to ask you this, is considering the economy today in the United States, how inflation is rising very rapidly, that the national debt is just astronomical, we have a trade deficit that's out of control, interest rates are rising again, we have this housing bubble that's looming, foreigners are trying to take their money out of the dollar and switch them to the euro. Morgan, where are we headed, and what's keeping this house of cards from just collapsing on us? Easy
well,
question.
The key thing is Alan Greenspan and his merry band of counterfeiters keep inflating the money supply and therefore debt, but it's going to come a cropper one of these days. I wish I knew the day.
Uh-huh.
They keep on inflating their way past the troubles, and my contention is that we need the therapy of a recession despite the ills that go with it, high unemployment being the most obvious one. But we dodged a we had such a mild recession it was almost absurd on in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And the trouble with avoiding the corrections is that you just sustain folly. So we're headed for some kind of a crack up is my take. The economy is not sound. Not too many economists say that because they're mostly Keynesians. They just believe in spending.
Uh-huh.
But you know, we see lots of ills, of course, just like Ford and GM.
Right.
All these legacy builders, legacy airlines. There's a lot of companies that need to go bust. And they just keep floating along, limping along, and therefore resources don't go into the hands of better entrepreneurs. And the structure of prices and wage rates and all of that needs to be corrected. And then the good of a recession is that you're getting healthy, you're going through the crisis, and then you establish the conditions for sound growth.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Morgan, considering that you were a chief economist with the Bush administration, did you see any indicators back then when you were working within the government to foreshadow what's happening now, where we're at now?
Well, I was known around the office as Dr. Gloom and Doom. you always have to look at the downside, and I did a memo every month before so-called Numbers Day, when the new employment and unemployment mm-hmm. stats come out, and the Secretary of Labor does a lot of media, and I'd have the good news and the bad news. That's just good advice that you alert your principal to what you might get from the media, which can emphasize the risks and the downsides. So I was always very sensitive to that, and among economists, I'm a so-called Austrian-style economist, and we're very much alert to the macroeconomic ills of the economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when we talk about 9/11, and we've done so so many times on this show. And what we really try to stay away from is conspiracy theory. So when we look at the controlled demolition, we base it on science and math and physics and so forth. But I think we're reaching a point where we have to start asking, or we have to start realizing that somebody planned, coordinated, and executed 9/11. One of the names that keeps being volleyed around is a guy named Dov Zakheim. Do you have any ideas from what you've researched and gathered, who was behind 9/11?
Well, the big picture, yeah, you're really asking at the level of the professional killers more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or, you know, you're going beyond mold. Kind of like, well, where was he on 9/11, and was he on the 23rd floor of WTC-7?
Right.
Well, I don't know that, but he is a great suspect. If you were going to honestly investigate 9/11 with a criminal investigation, which is what I would advocate, you would he'd be on the top of the list to investigate. Where were you on that day? Who can we get verification, confirmation from, et cetera, right? Because
mm-hmm.
he is a dual citizen for one.
That's right.
And number two, of course, he's a former CFO of the Defense Department. He is with this, help me on the company, it's System Planning Corp.
Right.
Or something
right.
like that, which has a termination vehicle, electronic vehicle for terminating, you know, remote control destruction of trucks, and you know, supposedly it's anti-terrorism. But the point is, he's technically competent, and he is a neoconservative. He signed the
right
document of September 2000, right?
Right?
You know, the new century call for a. The wonderful effects of a new Pearl Harbor, et cetera. So
mm-hmm.
he's got all the earmarks of being a, if not a professional killer, certainly a mole.
That's right.
Morgan, before 9/11, the American people hadn't heard of this vast, well-organized international terrorist cell named Al-Qaeda, nor had they heard about Osama bin Laden. Rumsfeld's made claims that Al-Qaeda controls massive high-tech cave complexes in Afghanistan, yet British and U.S. occupation forces never found these. Also, Britain's arrested 664 terror suspects since 9/11. Only 17 have been found guilty. Most have not been found to be in connection with an extremist group or Al-Qaeda. So what do you think? Do you think Al-Qaeda really exists, or is it a construct? And if it does exist, where's the hard evidence of this?
Well, my take would be that it probably exists, but remember that it's a creation of the CIA. I mean, this
That's
is
right.
an 80s creation to beat the Soviet Union. It was part of the so-called Mujahideen, is what I would argue. It's the remnants of that. But the whole thing is, whether it's fictional or fact, it's a complete non-starter. It's patsies, you know. In other words, these are the fall guys. These are the Lee Harvey Oswalds of 9/11. So, as somebody said in a book I was looking at the other day, it's not hard to murder anybody, but what's hard is doing a good cover-up. That's
yeah.
where
mm-hmm.
all the resources are spent. And so the Al-Qaeda boogeyman, the cartoon villains of Osama bin Laden, etc., are all, it's mostly smoke and mirrors, but at the bottom, yeah, there's probably these loose cells in a Muslim character, etc. But the point is, it's not the risk. It's, you know, the war on terror is a fraud, so you got to cook up all these dangers and 9/11 is the centerpiece of it all, of course.
Right.
Yeah, it's like the Orwellian perpetual war. Now, last week I wrote an article. It's called "The Whole World Knows 9/11 Controlled Demolition," and I listed at least a dozen different sources in the media where controlled demolition is now being discussed. Some of those were the Village Voice, Newsday, the New York Post. Also, a few months ago, the Washington Times ran an article about you. Is the word about controlled demolition making its way out into society now? What are your thoughts?
Well, the direction is always forward. The truth is going to advance no matter what the other side does. So, yes, I'd say, but are we doing as well as you're suggesting? I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
I was looking at this book you might have seen by Sander Hicks called Big Wedding.
Uh-huh.
And on page 107, he's talking about somebody, Demetria Mon-Sram, out in San Francisco. And listen to this kind of excuse making. I am also beginning to see the WTC7 issue as being a possible distraction.
Oh,
most folks would easily accept demolition of a nearby building as a safety measure, whether it was actually done so for that reason or not. Well, hope, wait a minute. You know,
that's
in other
incredible.
Words, they're poo-pooing the demolition of Building 7, these disinformation artists. Well, you can't rig a building like Building 7
no.
for a smooth demolition
in just a couple hours.
60 minutes.
Yeah.
Morgan, he's hooked up with the 911truth.org people.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's I quickly found that out when I looked at this book. I said, man, what an excuse maker. But
exactly.
It's just absurd, and this is a good example of the absurdity. He doesn't even ask a question about this absurd proposition.
Yeah, just dismissing it.
Yeah.
Some of the strategies used to bring about a hypnotic state in people are shock, repetition of phrases and images, and exploiting a person's sense of vulnerability so they release their long-held beliefs and actually embrace something that's untenable or unthinkable. We see this happening after 9/11, too. What do you think it's going to take for people to change their belief systems? Because that's one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a death in the family. You know what? How do you get over the grieving? Well, you know, time is the elixir. Time is on our side. It's not on the perpetrators. But I don't have if I knew the answer to that question, we'd be a lot further along than we are.
It's like the country's been hypnotized.
One thing is very clear, of course, is that the psyops, the psychological operations here, were well in place and thought through by the perpetrators. So, you know, we just have an uphill climb here.
Yeah. Now, a few minutes ago, you mentioned Lee Harvey Oswald, and one of the things that worries me is that even though 40-plus years after the Kennedy assassination, almost everybody realizes that there was a much bigger conspiracy than just the lone nut assassin of Lee Harvey Oswald, yet when you look at official sources, he's the only one that's still listed. How do you think, historically, 9/11 is going to be viewed, say 20, 30, or 40 years down the line?
It'll be like JFK assassination. In other words, 8 or 9 out of 10 know that it was a put-up job. And,
mm-hmm.
and the official, in other words, the Kane-Zellico report will have the less standing, I believe, in less time than the Warren Commission. You know, the Warren Commission, at least they turned out, everybody was testified under oath. There were over 550. There's 10 million words, 26 volumes. You can go into that as Eric Huffschmidt and
mm-hmm.
see the truth crying out to escape.
Yeah.
Whereas the Kane-Zellico was a complete, you know, all they did was bring together these inaccessible, self-referential, you know, FBI interview of 10/21/01, on and on. There's not any content in the Kane-Zellico report.
Hmm. We've talked a lot about the temperatures of hydrocarbon fires in buildings and how they couldn't have possibly melted the steel. And you raised a good point in your writing, too, that heat rises. And so the higher beams would be the ones that would heat up, because I know some people have said, well, the steel didn't melt, but it softened. Would it have been possible to soften the steel considering the length the fires burned, the time?
No,
melt time?
It's just absurd. And one of the things I am most outraged about is the people in the university community, my former colleagues who chime in, you know, like Purdue did or Thomas Iger, the MIT professor. It's a disgrace that it's a disgrace to their nominal goal, which is the truth and honest application of scientific principles. manufactured steel. Yeah. Well, where is the melted aluminum, even on the facade or anywhere?
We just talked about that.
After the buildings fell. There's no sign of any of this. Now, what we do have is melted steel. We had molten steel at the base that went on for weeks.
Right.
They couldn't cool it. They kept putting water and water and water on it. Well, guess what? You know, that's the aftermath of the demolition.
That's right. Yeah, and that's up over 5,000 degrees there now. Now, one of the biggest disappointments we faced in the last 4 years is what we call the gatekeepers or the 9/11 mafia. And it amazes me, considering how much content is on the Internet, supposedly in this alternative press, especially on the left, people that supposedly hate George Bush, that refuse to talk about 9/11. And even in, like, 9/11truth.org, people like Kyle Hentz will say people aren't ready for the truth, or they appear on C-SPAN and they'll completely support the government's version.
Or they tell us we should be moving on.
Right, or most recently, Nicholas Levis, when he was in Newsday, I believe it was, says that he still believes the planes brought the towers down. What do you make of all this, Morgan?
Well, I'm inclined to trust people until they do me wrong, but I must admit in the last 3 or 4 months I'm seeing an awful lot of skullduggery by the alleged 9/11 skeptic community, where
I agree
it's a 9/11 truth suppression movement. It's very clear. One of the things that outrages me as a person who believes the truth should be sung though the heavens fall.
Right.
That's what my academic oath was about. And here we're supposed to worry about what people think. I don't really give 2 cents for what people think. And the idea is to move people into thinking.
Isn't he great?
Yeah.
Isn't he great?
Exactly.
Give them the truth. You give them logic and evidence. And everywhere I turn, well, you can't entertain the no planes. No plane went into the Pentagon, or no commercial airliner went into the Pentagon, because that would upset people. My mother-in-law thinks that somebody saw one that morning. Well, first of all, you know, physical evidence trumps eyewitness.
Right.
Absolutely.
Every time. And second of all, if you allow me or any smart interrogator to really put the wood to them, you'll find out that it's pretty much rubbish, okay? And thirdly, when you go to the Pentagon, you're talking about most of these people are in the military-industrial complex, you know? So they begin with a lie.
That's
right. There on their credentials. So, the point is that when they talk about credibility, I'm saying, what credibility do you have to begin with?
Right.
You know, what are you protecting?
We need so many more people like Morgan.
and push as hard as you can, like you're doing.
Yeah.
Morgan, you were invited to speak in Colorado at a 9/11 Truth event, and then I guess you were disinvited. Tell us what happened with that.
I'd like to know. Yeah. I was to be on an event, and with Barry Zwicker, the media critic up in Toronto, Canada, and everybody agreed. I was talking to this guy, Timothy C. Boyle of Colorado 9/11 Visibility.org. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're part of the Truth, 9/11 Truth.
I think they're an adjunct.
They're hooked with them. Yeah.
Are they are?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we put in this bold ad. I had already done a front page interview with Boulder Weekly, so people up there were kind of tuned in to my activity in this area, and they were going to push me, and we had this stirring headline, which I can prove, and it said, we can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Bush-Cheney committed the atrocities of 9/11, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Barry Zwicker and Tim Boyle went along with us. Yeah, that's a good grab. Then there were all these qualms about it, and I said, look, I can prove this up. What people don't understand about prosecution in a court of law is you don't have to know everything that happened. That's a fool's errand. What you have to do is present the evidence that has no other reasonable explanation but that the defendant did it, okay? And we have enough.
Reasonable doubt.
And furthermore, conspiracy law is very generous in that you don't have to prove what everybody did exactly in a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, I was arguing with about a half dozen people going into this. I said, man, these people are scared, you know,
they are.
Or they're just dilettantes. I'm serious, okay?
Yeah. We agree.
I see myself as a tough guy here. I'm not a wimp, all right? And let's get it on. What do we really have after 4 years? What can we prove, okay? At any rate, that was the whole premise of my talk. Well, I sent my PowerPoint to Tim Boyle, and a couple days went by, 3 days, and there was all silence, and I said, uh-oh, these people are bailing on me, aren't
yeah.
they? And then, as Lisa knows, there was some kind of a schmear up in, came out of New York City, somebody
yeah.
allegedly named Veronica, actually, about,
Victoria.
Well, this guy is really suspicious because he's a right-winger, you know, blah, blah, blah.
You know who that is?
That's news.
That's Jim Hoffman's girlfriend.
Is that a real person? His
we don't know. I don't know. Supposedly it's a real person.
It's a plausible theory, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But we know
you've...
Okay. But the point is, I don't know if it was the content of my 30 slides or orders from New York, but and I heard from one attendee that the thing really bombed. People
mm-hmm.
were upset that I wasn't there.
Of course.
They had this cover story, well, we just had a falling out. No, he just told me, don't come.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Imagine
and we know,
our shock. Huh?
Yeah, and we know some of the other people involved with that, so it's not surprising at all. Morgan, one last question. I like talking primarily to engineers and people in a construction business, physicists, mathematics, about 9/11 because they understand the way buildings are put together, or they understand numbers and so forth. And if someone came up to you and said, give us the basic crux of the controlled demolition in, say, 60 seconds or so, how would you explain it to them? How can we prove that 9/11 came, or the towers came down via controlled demolition?
You've seen demolitions on TV. Everybody has. What does this look like to you?
Yeah.
If you hadn't been programmed by the government, CNN, NBC, etc., it's got all the earmarks of a demolition. That's
right.
The only way this thing could have happened. There's near free fall speed. There's all that concrete just turning to dust. The stack is tiny. We've got all the video and photo evidence of the explosion. We've got all the eyewitness reports. We've got the molten steel at the bottom. We got the seismic. We've
mm-hmm.
got all the physical evidence we need to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
We've got Galileo and Isaac Newton.
Get the stereotypes out of your mind and look at this anew.
Yeah. Well, Morgan, thank you so very, very much for coming on here.
Absolutely.
And if we had 100 more people like you in this country, I'll bet 9/11 would be solved by now. And we just can't thank you enough for coming on here and
yeah.
for also being so persistent in pushing the truth.
We'd love to have you back on too, Morgan.
Okay, I'd love to be back on.
Hey, keep up the great work, okay?
Okay,
and have a good week. All right, we'll
take
see
care.
You. And one last time, we'll be on Alex Merklinger tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, Bill Broombaugh, 11 o'clock
if Alex
Eastern.
Alex does the show.
Yeah. So you can go to the homepage, you can link up to those, and just keep your eyes open. What a great, great man he is, isn't he?
We need 1,000 more like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it just heartens us to have someone like this out there fighting for us. So we'll be back again on Monday with another video television version of Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you then.